Shout out to my listeners out there. This is your host, Moshe Canty, host of the podcast Conscious Moves. I want to send my love to everybody out there. I hope everybody's remaining healthy, staying focused, and making conscious moves. Last episode, the title of what we were discussing was, Is the Disrespect of Black Women a Conscious or Unconscious Behavior? I got so many quick reviews from that and so many responses from loved ones via text messages and individuals who I bumped into on the streets and was like, yo, this is a very serious topic. So much so that I decided to create a series of this topic so that we can keep revisiting this in the future. I think that this is such an important topic that we just can't have one episode in which we speak about it, then push it up under the rug. With that being the case, this is part two of that series. And I think it's important that I emphasize why I made the conscious decision to revisit this issue right after the first week that this episode aired. And the reason why I believe that this is the case is because in the first episode of this series, I specifically neglected to speak about how I was impacted by the use or the denigration of black women, or women in particular. But before I get into that, let me first shout out my loved ones, everybody out there who has been providing me with the support to move forward. And all praise is due to Allah for providing me with this opportunity. I ask that my family and friends, y'all continue to support this endeavor. I believe that it's something that we are in desperate need of. I think that it can help us get through our issues, because we're dealing with a number of issues. I also want to send shout outs and love to the families of my brothers that's still behind the wall, some of who I'm continuing to communicate with. And I ask that y'all stay strong while y'all loved ones are locked away. And finally, I want to send love to my brothers behind the wall who I left, who I know are still struggling to maintain under some very difficult circumstances. So now let us move forward. So now we discussed many things last week. I wanted us to basically get just a general idea of this whole notion that we use language that can be very disrespectful, but we find a way to justify our use of doing so. And I also wanted to highlight the fact that in spite of doing that, we're still able to overcome many facets of oppression that our people continuously endure. So what I was saying was that we have the ability to be able to overcome our shortcomings in spite of us using derogatory language every day. And I was trying to plant the seeds into our heads that if we did not use these terms, if we did not denigrate and look down upon another, in spite of the progress that we've made as a people, then just imagine how successful we could potentially be. But I focused on the general usage of this word, the B word, the N word, and so on and so forth. But I was speaking about the B word in particular. But I didn't personalize it, and that's what I want to do today. In the past, I've spoken about my upbringing in the household with my mother, but I never spoke about my relationship with my family and my loved ones beyond that relationship. So let's start with my matriarchal side, meaning my mother's side of the family. I come from a matrilineal or matriarchal family on my mother's side. From my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, to my great-grandmother, to my grandmother, then down to my mother, it's nothing but women in my family. My great-grandmother had two sisters, one brother. My grandmother had two sisters. My mother had two sisters. I was surrounded around nothing but women, great women, beautiful women. I recall spending multiple days with my loved ones, in this case, these females who showed me nothing but the etiquette of how women of character, of high dignity, of integrity, how they conduct themselves on a daily basis. This is what they showed me continuously. Never did they show me that the denigration or the demoralization of women was something that we should do. And I say that not lightly. They took their responsibilities as women or pillars of the community very seriously. I was surrounded around nothing but love. I think I've expressed that in the past. That was very important for me because those seminal seeds, which ultimately were planted inside of me, helped me become the man that I am today. But it wasn't always like that. In addition to the women who were responsible for raising me from my mother's side of the family, I also was introduced to a side of my family, my father's side of the family, who in which there was nothing but women is there as well. Not my father and his brothers and sisters, but my grandmother and her brothers and sisters. She's one of 14 kids, many of which are women. Host of cousins, etc., etc. I had a lot of women of character raise me within the Black community. Women outside of my very home. Women who showed me how to treat a Black woman with respect, with dignity, with honor, with reverence. So it wasn't just in my family where I was getting these principles, this love from how to treat a woman and so on and so forth. I wasn't given that just in the household. I learned that in the much larger community. Yeah, the community taught me that. But at some point of my younger years, I deviated from those teachings. And this is the lesson in that, because this is very important. That when you deviate from who you are, it can ultimately take you down a dark path. And that's what ultimately happened to me. I can't say at what age in particular that I began to become a womanizer, become somebody who looked at women in a way in which I was trying to use and abuse them. When I say abuse, I'm not talking about physical abuse, but I'm talking about psychological and emotional abuse. I'm talking about the kind of abuse that anybody with common sense would frown upon. So I can't say at what age these values became something that were embedded within me, but I do know at a young age, it wasn't frowned upon to have as many women, you know, as your girlfriend or you was the man to know that you had sex with multiple women. In fact, that was looked at as a badge of honor. When me and my so-called childhood associates got together, we bragged to each other about how many women we slept with. Sometimes we freestyle. We lied like you wouldn't imagine. Yeah, I slept with her. I did this. I did that. That was the way for us to say that we somehow gained some honor and prestige amongst our peers. So we patted each other on the back. We uplifted each other every time we felt as if, or the impression was given that we were laying down with as many women as possible. But I can't say who or at what time these values were given to me. But I do know that these were things that the older individuals in my community were teaching us. I do know that. This is the truth. And when I say older individuals, I'm not talking about the responsible men. I'm talking about the individuals who were a generation older than us, or the generation of older individuals who were right over us in our community, and those individuals who were over them, and so on and so forth. These individuals made it, you know, cool for us to, you know, have sex with many, many, many women as possible. So this wasn't frowned upon. The denigration of women were not frowned upon. What made it worse for me, I think, is that Once I started getting into the streets for real, meaning once I started like selling drugs and robbing and doing all that other foolishness, I think that for me, somebody who was dealing with issues himself, and those issues I'll speak about another time, inshallah, but definitely dealing with some esteem issues. There's no question about that. But somebody like myself who was dealing with those issues, I was now looked at as the man just because, you know, I was getting a little bit of money. I saw now once I got some clothes on my back, I'm driving around in the latest cars. My mans and them, they got whips. I'm driving in their cars and it's looking like I'm doing something other than just being an average Joe, an everyday go to work kind of guy. I'm getting a little bit of money. I'm in the game. So the women flocked to me. I didn't know how to deal with that. And so the more women who flocked to me continuously, I continued to become more of an abusive type of individual. Not physically, but again, psychologically and emotionally. And in many cases, that can be worse. So I became a womanizer. A hardcore womanizer, man. All I wanted to do was have sex with as many women possible. And it was within this time where I began to denigrate women. And devalue them and look at them just as sex objects. And this was not correct. This was not behavior that one would consider to be one with knowledge of self would consider to be of or right and exact. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned in that. You know, running around the streets, going back and forth out of town, getting a little bit of money. It blew my head up. It made me feel as if I was the man. I like being known as the Moshe, the little cute little kid with the waves and the nice name and a little bit of money in my pocket. The little Fila suits, the velour Fila suits, and the reputation that came with that. That was cool to me. I remember going to high school in Thomas Jefferson, playing on the basketball team, getting money at the same time. I was the man. Everybody knew Moshe. And I wasn't able to deal with that, the pressure of having to live up to those expectations. But what I do know is that, and when I mean those expectations, I mean I was a celebrity. In my head, I was the hood celebrity. Everybody knew me. But in the back of my mind, I was looking at it as a way for me to take down as many women as I possibly could. Oh, today I'm going to lay down with her. All right, that's that. Today, later on today, I'm going to do that with her. All right, cool. Tomorrow, I'm going to lay with her. Yo, boom, jump out the whip. Hey, yo, ma, what's up? Yo, shorty, what's the deal? Hey, boom, bang. Hey, what's going on? Hey, my, hey. That was me. I was in that loop. And it was about how many women I can take down, and that's that. I made irresponsible decision after irresponsible decision you wouldn't even imagine. Meeting women who I didn't even know, having unprotected sex with them. Women who I don't even remember their names. These are the poor decisions that I ultimately was making on a personal level. Horrible decisions. So in the process of all of that, I began to devalue, demoralize, and look down upon women. So the whole culture of the B word, even if I didn't say it, where I wasn't saying it, my actions reflected my outlook on how women should be treated. So I may have saw somebody physically beating on a woman and be like, yo, look at this bozo. But I was no different than him because I was the same individual who I would have sex with a woman, giving her the impression that I was really in a relationship with her. But all I wanted was some skins, as we used to say. And that same form of mistreatment is abuse. And it's not right and exact. No way is that right and exact. And I hurt many women's hearts as a result of that. And may Allah forgive me for that. So, you know, getting incarcerated, some people would say, was a horrible thing. And I agree. Nobody wants to be sitting in some white man's prison or no black man's prison or anybody's prisons for that matter. Who wants to be sitting in prison? Nobody. But I think going to prison was a blessing in disguise for me because it allowed me the opportunity to be able to hold myself to account for all of my shortcomings. That doesn't necessarily mean that I would somehow absolve myself from all wrongdoing, but I would now have more time on my hand to reflect on the steps that I've taken to get me to where I was at that point of being incarcerated. So you're forced under those conditions of incarceration to be more conscious of those decisions. Some individuals ignore that time spent. So they don't want to do the self-reflection part where it requires them to look a little bit more deeper to start making those changes, because many of us don't want to change. But me, on the other hand, because of my conscience, I felt guilty for the things that I did to the women in my life. As I began to educate myself more, as I began to look at our culture historically, because one thing about prison, you get to read a lot of books. You get to reflect and you get to appreciate that which was taken away from you. So what I did a lot of times in the cell, I used to think about, before I even got to that point of my consciousness being raised, I used to think about as many women who can come to the prison to do for me what I wanted to do for them. Yo, come see me on the next visit. Oh, you're not coming? All right, man, then F you then. I'm going to find me somebody else who I was out there in the streets with. But before I got to that usury part of taking advantage of women and not caring about women's feelings, just being so selfish that I wanted these women to do for me and do for me alone, before I got to that point of acknowledging that something was wrong with that picture, I began to appreciate those things that were taken from me. And in doing that, I said, wow, I really have some beautiful women in my life. I said, Danny, these women were some really beautiful sisters, man. Not just physically. I'm just talking about in general, their characters. Just all around good people. So as you begin to educate yourself and you see the high reverence that our women in history had. I spoke about Hatshepsut, Nzinga, Queen Tai, Cleopatra, Queen Candace of Ethiopia, among many others, Aisha of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife, and Khadija, among many other women. I began to see the role of women in history, even coming to most recent times. And I said, wow, women are some remarkable creatures, man. They are some extremely significant creatures, man. So once I began to appreciate that, I began to, you know, hold myself to a more account. I began to now look at myself in the mirror and say, yo, man, you was a horrible dude, man. Moshe, you was a dirtbag, dog. Like, yo, what type of guy was you, man? You was just selfish, out for yourself. You didn't care about nobody's feelings. How could you say you loved that woman? The only thing you was only concerned about was yourself. You ain't love her. You ain't even love yourself. You was acting like a freaking fool, like an idiot. That's ultimately the harshness or the hardship I had to place upon myself before I got to the point of accepting responsibility for the wrongs that I've inflicted upon the women in my life. So, yeah, last week I spoke specifically about, you know, how we get in, where this comes from. I want to speak about the much larger issue within the Black community. But I would do us all a disservice if I didn't place the responsibility on my own shoulders for my contributions to the denigration of our women within the Black community as well. So if you are a Black sister out there or a woman who I was in a relationship with, you all know who you are. And if I in any way denigrated you, demoralized you, or made you feel devalued, then please forgive me for that. I was way out of line. While I will not blame my youth for my ignorance, I simply ask that you forgive me, because I just was just caught up. I was just caught up. I'm not going to lie to you. I was caught up. And I ask that you forgive me. I ask that you help me be a better individual by holding me to account. And I appreciate that, if you can. But with that being the case, it was at that point of being in a cell and being forced by necessity to say, man, that was horrible, dog. You really exploited that woman for your own diabolical objectives, man. You only cared about yourself. So it's accepting responsibility. I'm hoping that there's people out there who, when they listen to this, they say to themselves, damn, bro is speaking from his heart right now. And I am. But what I would really, really, really hope is that you take heed to what it is that I'm saying to you. If you caught in them streets, if you out there getting a little bit of money and, you know, you got a little bit of looks and the women are flocking to you, just think that maybe your actions have consequences to them, man. It looks good today, but ultimately tomorrow, man, it could come back and kick you in your butt. And then you have a set of regrets that you be saying to yourself, man, I wish I didn't do this and I wish I didn't do that. And we don't want to live with that. If you're sitting up in a jail cell right now and you're probably regretting the decisions that you made, it's probably too late because you said, damn, man, I ain't have to do that. But you don't want it to get to that point. That was me. I was in that predicament where I couldn't call on good people because I burnt bridges with these good people because of the relationships that I squandered away due to my own selfishness. Not to suggest that these people are not still in my life. Many of these people are still in my life by the grace and mercy of Allah. And I thank him for that every day. Because in spite of being young and stupid, these women were so beautiful that they didn't hold me to account for my ignorance. So that just goes to show you the quality of women that they were. So I was speaking about the denigration part, how that became the culture. And at some point there was this, as I began to educate myself, I said, damn, I can't. Now I had to look at the relationship between the women in my life. After my father left my mother, he got married again. He married a beautiful woman. This woman raised me like she was my, like I came out of her womb. The lessons that she taught me, she raised me as if I was her own. I still carry those lessons today. I said, how could I denigrate women when it's women in my life who continuously provide me with the wisdom like this woman? There are more examples of that. Just regular everyday people who you know who've always did their best to try to uplift you no matter what. So how is it that I can become so damn selfish and not take what they give me for my benefit for granted, but then run around and disrespect women on the other hand? What type of individual would I be? So this is the constant fight that I was going through, where I'm looking at myself saying, I know better, but why am I not doing better? So it's these lessons from the women, the mothers in my life, many mothers, that made me, the history, all of this together is what ultimately put me in a situation where I had to challenge my own beliefs and said, I no longer want to be a practitioner towards the denigration and the demoralization of our women. All right. But that was a process that took some time. It took me struggling and fighting with myself. People think prison is easy. You could be in the streets and be in prison, but I'm talking about really being physically confined to a cell where you forced in a cage to look at all of your freaking flaws.
You can't run from yourself in that predicament. At least in the streets, you could try to act like everything's all right. When them lights go out at nighttime, you can't front on nobody, man. You in there by yourself. And there was many instances I laid up in that cell crying like a baby. Yeah, I was up in there crying like a baby. Because of my actions in the streets. Because of my disrespect to women. I would get letters from women who would say that they forgave me for the stuff that I did. And be crying like a baby, like, damn, this woman is beautiful, man. And I was a freaking creep. Those streets, they turn you into something different. They turn you into something other than yourself. And that was me. That was me. So anybody that's in these streets right now, you in them streets, I'm letting you know right now that them streets is going to turn you something other than yourself. You're not your true self. You're going to start acting like somebody you're not. You're going to start mimicking people that you're not. You're going to start developing habits that ultimately going to turn you into a creep. And that's what we do. We start acting like we got principles and that we continuously devalue ourselves. And because our value has been depreciated, we then now depreciate the value of others. And ultimately, that depreciates the value of the Black community in general. Or society in general. We then begin to look at ourselves in a different light, conducting ourselves like we higher and above others when we're no higher and above than nobody, because we're at the lowest totem pole, because we're acting like a bunch of savages in pursuit of happiness. So we need to be real mindful of that, because our actions have consequences. Just like you moving your pieces on the chessboard, they have consequences. That's why I always say a conscious mind makes the best moves. A conscious mind is going to make the best moves. That person is going to put themselves in a predicament where they're going to make the best moves. I wasn't making the best moves when I was trying to have sex and multiple sex partners and do this and do that. And you know what that got me? That got me STDs. I ain't mentioned that part, but that's the truth. So you think it's all right just to be running around and all? Nah, it's not all right to be doing that. Because that comes with consequences. It comes with going to the clinic and getting some pills and things like that, saying, I contracted an STD. Yeah, I got gonorrhea. I got chlamydia. Yeah, I need help. You know why? Because you're doing things you ain't got no business doing. That was me. I've been down that path before. I know what that path looked like. So when I'm speaking, I'm not speaking from some individual on no pulpit. I'm not trying to preach. I'm not in the habit of doing that. What I'm simply sharing with you is my personal experiences in hopes that maybe it can uplift you so you don't make the same mistakes. I've been fortunate, by Allah's mercy, not to have a disease that will render me, that will put me in checkmate. I've been thankful for that. And I'm sharing this with my listeners for a reason. Because if you don't get it from me, you might not get it from nobody. So if you out there running around unprotected sex and all that, be careful. You're not moving your pieces on the board. You're going to knock that little pawn right off. That little horse, you think you're going to move it over there? He's going to get knocked off too. So be very careful out there. So as I was saying, you know, sitting up in that cell was serious, man. Because it ultimately compelled me to now start saying, I need to start being better than I've been. The death of my grandmother in 2014. In April 2014 put me on a whole new different level. I began really, really to say, damn, man. The person who was always in my life willing to support me in every endeavor I chose, was always there for me, always loved me, was the most beautiful as woman. She was never no B. Never. I never heard my grandmother raise her voice. Always softening, talking a soft tone. Never. She passed away. Broke me down. I was in the box at the time, meaning I was locked up for 23 hours a day in the cell. Broke me down. Cried like a baby. 8 months later, December 25th, my mother passes away. I was about to lose my mind in there. But in between these two events, it was like something happened. I can't explain, man. But I know that I said, damn, man. I need to start. I need to get my life together. I need to start focusing on me. And by doing so, it was when I really, really started taking my life that much more seriously. Because up to that point, I was still wilding. I was bugging out. Didn't care about life. Didn't care too much about anything. So, you know, it's a struggle, man. I think I went a little bit more crazier even after the death of my sister, after she was tragically killed. And that put me on a, or at, you know, I can't even, it just the thought of it is still, not. I'm not even, but that put me on a I don't care mode. And I think that just made me worse. But all of that could have been prevented. It was all about choices. And I didn't make the best choices. But I had an opportunity to do so. My behavior towards women is no excuse because I didn't know. No, I knew better. I just didn't care. I can't blame the events in my life that are out of my control, which would then justify my reason for continuing to be on the path of destruction and justifying my senselessness. So I had to make some changes. And that was a struggle. I struggled with myself. And I still struggle with myself. But I am no longer the person that I was then. And that's not to say that I'm out of the woods. We're going to always be struggling to the day that we die, each and every one of us. But a comrade of mine last week spoke about cleaning and purifying the heart. I don't want anybody to get the impression that when I say a conscious mind makes the best moves, that I'm negating the heart. All of these things have to be working in harmony with one another. If your heart is not right, how can your head be right? If your heart is not right, how can your head be right? So there's no doubt that my heart wasn't right. It was deficient. It was poisoned. It was suffering from all type of ailments and diseases and maladies that was rendering me a disease-infested fool. But how can my mind be right if my heart wasn't right? So there needs to be harmony. When your heart begins to now feel remorse, when you begin to accept responsibility and you atone for your wrongdoings, now you're putting in your heart the things that which can cure a diseased heart. This ultimately raises your level of awareness. And then now your actions begin to reflect what's in your heart. They work in tandem with one another. So we have to be better overall, collectively, all of us. All of us have, at some point, have to get to the point of either accepting responsibility for the wrongs that we've done or not putting ourselves in the predicament in which ultimately we will then regret what we've done. I speak to everyone out there, those who I know, those who are strangers to me. I want you guys to be out there doing the best, making the best moves, not putting yourselves in compromising positions, which ultimately you will regret later on. Don't be like me. So my personal experiences to y'all is not to highlight the wrongs that I've done, but to look at me and say, damn, Mo was in that predicament. I don't want to be in that predicament. Mo sharing his personal stories with us, not to highlight this, not to get props or accolades. Who wants that? But to simply say you have here an example of somebody who fell short and does not want others to replicate that behavior. Who wants others to be better than he was. I speak to the youth continuously. And I say, listen, don't follow in what I've done or what you may see other individuals do that gives the impression that it is cool. Be very mindful of that because that comes with consequences. And like moving pieces on the board, if you're just moving your pieces without thinking, somebody who is thinking will think for you. And that's exactly what happened to me. While I was making my moves, there was somebody thinking for me who was outsmarting me every step of the way, which ultimately led to me spending time in a freaking cell. I had a toilet there, I had a sink there, I had a bed, I had all the amenities under those circumstances that I was provided to. I mean, I was provided for. That's how you live your life in that situation. Let us be very mindful of our decisions. I hope that whatever it is that I've shared with you could be of benefit. I hope that it's something that you could take and hold on to and don't just say, oh yeah, Mo was rambling on about this. Yeah, nah, Mo shared some real hardcore stuff with you. Mo poured his heart out and Mo shared some stuff about what he was enduring and how he was treating women and so on and so forth, because that was his way of trying to save you from you making a similar or poor decision. I'm not going to hold y'all up. I hope that everybody out there continues to remain focused. Do what you have to do to make your best moves on the board. We're all struggling with something. Try to get a hold on it. If you're out there, you're a little overweight, then work a little harder, man. If you're out there, you know, you're dealing with some psychological issues, some mental issues, seek help. Talk to people, man. It's nothing wrong with that. If you're struggling spiritually, your soul is not right, and call on the Creator. Ask for help. I call upon Allah 5 times, more than that, because I needed something to help me, because I was bugging. And since then, I've been striving. I've been on a better path, and I'm not ashamed to say that. So we're struggling. But if you need the help, push forth that effort, man, to try to be better than you were yesterday. Strive to be better than you were yesterday. That's the best thing that you can do. With that, I'm going to end you guys by saying this. A conscious mind makes the best move. And what that means is that by making the best move or by being more conscious, the likelihood exists that you'll make a more wise decision, a more conscious decision, and the best decision for you, your family, your community, and others. With that being said, y'all take care of yourself. Stay healthy, man. Assalamu alaikum. Shout it out, y'all. This is Moshe Canty, host of the podcast Conscious Moves. This segment is sponsored by Mighty Healthy. Listen, one of the best conscious moves that you can make is to invest in your physical health. Mighty Healthy will help you do just that. It strengthens your immune system, improves digestion, reduces inflammation due to its high concentration of antioxidants, and replenishes your body with the essential vitamins and minerals it needs daily. Go to MightyHealthy.com, and to get 20% off of your purchasing price, type in the code CONSCIOUS. Tell them that Moshe sent you.